1-800-266-2266.
And for a $75 minimum pledge, that book, The Earth Wants You, that is yours. It's a dandy little book, and it's you can sort of tune into the Earth message by calling 877-500-5266. Or come on down and see us at 20 Southeast 8th. People are here who are just keeping this little station on the air, keeping things running, and see where your money goes. It does not go on all sorts of corporate luxuries or anything like that. It goes... Somebody says, where is Shemansky Park? I believe it is at 9th and Salmon. It is right there at the sort of the end of the park blocks, I believe.
The address for Shemansky Park is 1010 Southwest Park Boulevard. And you are tuned to KBOO in Portland. It's 10 a.m. And coming up... we have Air Cascadia featuring Chris Andre bringing you headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed by a talk by author, activist, journalist, and radio host David Swanson on the notion of war is a lie. At noon, we speak with Peter Wilcox about Greenpeace Captain, my adventures in protecting the future of our planet. At 1, Naomi Klein speaks on transitioning to climate justice. Followed at 3 p.m., Lisa Loving speaking with activist, journalist, and writer Dar Jamail about war, peace, and climate disruption. Followed at 4 by Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. We're very grateful to Pacifica Radio for sharing that with us. At 5, we have the KBOO Evening News. And at 6, Bread and Roses presents a powerful, emotional, and informative conversation about human sex trafficking and modern-day slavery. This is the sort of information that you need to be a fully engaged and well-rounded citizen of your community. It's down the street, all across the nation, and around the world. You need it, and it needs you. So call 877-500-5266 and make it happen. All of that is coming up on our special News and Public Affairs Day, starting right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 2016 May Day Rally and March. Sunday, May 1st at 3 p.m. will be the rally at the South Park Blocks at Southwest Park and Salmon, and 4 o'clock the march will start. May Day is a day of celebration and struggle. Since 2006, this day of action has also focused on the relationship between worker rights and immigrant rights. This year's march and rally will serve as a vehicle to promote the themes of resistance to capitalism, international solidarity, and respect for workers and oppressed groups within this society and the world. Again, that's the 2016 May Day Rally and March, Sunday, May 1st at 3 p.m. at the South Park Blocks, Southwest Park and Salmon in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bar Carlo, a Mexican and American restaurant open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Wednesday through Monday at 6433 Southeast Foster Road. Lunch was provided by an anonymous donor. Dinner was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, serving breakfast all day, open 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends, located on 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 29th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Before we get into it today, we've got just a little bit of business to take care of. I want to remind everybody first up of the number to call. It's 877-500-5266. Also, I want to thank our engineer, Sam Parrish, today. I always think of the people who are the board ops as the shaman of the station. They make magic happen. I don't know how they do it. I go in there and I look and I watch. I try to figure it out and I can't. So there you go, magic. Thanks, Sam, for the magic. And I also want to just say this to listeners. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. That's exactly what people up at Cascade Locks did. And at the very last minute, wham, in comes Nessie with a pack. Was it a super pack? Who cares? It's a political action committee, and they formed it using a huge amount of money at the very last minute, right after the good people of Cascade Locks did a yeoman job of getting this issue on the ballot in the first place, only to find out at the last 11th hour that here comes Nestle with its super PAC. Yeehaw! Right? Here comes the stagecoach. But you know what? I hear something up in the mountains and on their trail, closing in hard and fast on Nestle's heels. And it is the community of First Nations whose land and waters, this has always been and always will be, regardless of Nestle, regardless of anything else, any of us. This is first, last, and always a matter of Indigenous justice. If it's anything else other than Indigenous justice, then it's no justice at all. Before we introduce our guests, we've got one guest. We've got Clarice Wesley joining us. We also will probably have a guest joining us from BARC, some other groups that know a great deal about Nestle and a great deal about what they have been up to in Cascade Locks, in San Bernardino, in Southern California, across the United States, and indeed across the world, because Nestle, of course, is not an American company. They are. It's a foreign corporation. What are they doing in Cascade Locks? And can we honestly believe anything they say when they claim to care about the land and the water, and when they make these claims that they are going to safeguard the cleanliness of the water? It's not so much the cleanliness now, it's the warmth, because the Oxbow Springs, that's one of the last places where the water is cool enough for the fish in the first place. I did want to really quickly get to the weather, because we're coming up on a... But this is where we plant our feet. This is Cascadia. We've got a little bit more time today to stretch out. We've got 30 minutes, but you know, that time goes so fast. And we're going to, with Clarice's permission, throw open those phone lines and hear what you have to say about this issue, which affects us, it affects all the rest of the world. And we went through this, remember, with our own water supply, right? Remember Bull Run? Remember the coming out? Remember getting the facts, knowing your rights, and taking a stand on Bull Run water? So this is something almost incomprehensible to me, that we have to actually go out in the streets and yell at the top of our lungs in case it's for what? For water? This is the privatization of the water that we drink, the air we breathe, the land we stand on, has gone way, way too far. That's another reason why we do the weather, because it's ours. It is. And they, what are they going to do? Sell it back to us? Are we going to get a huge bill in the mail every time it rains? Well, wait for it. Showers, mainly this morning, and we've got a high today of 59. Not much wind. We won't even talk about it tonight. Maybe showers. Probably late. Won't even hear it. That beautiful sound of rain on the window. And lows around 47, winds 5 to 10. Tomorrow, sunny, highs near 68. And for tomorrow night, clear, lows around 47. Sunday, dawns bright and clear, sunny, and high around, 82 degrees on Sunday. And Sunday night, clear, lows around 53. And then, bang, before you know it, Monday leaps on you like a puma jumping out of a tree. Okay. Clarice Guestly, good morning. Thank you for being with us today.
Hi, good morning.
We are delighted, we are honored to have you with us, and we are astonished at a couple of things. First, Nestle has no right, according to treaties. Treaties are what govern the resources in that part of the world. Treaties govern that water. Treaties are there to protect land and the people who... I just want to say this. The indigenous people, it's not like it's their land, because indigenous people don't have a concept. You can't own land. That's a ridiculous idea. How can you possibly own land? It makes no sense. But indigenous people are part of the land and the water and the fish. It's possibly part of these things. That's why we do the weather. We're part of it. We're part of these things, but people can't own these things. Can you talk, give us a little bit of history of about Nestle as sudden presence in the gorge and some of the strategies that they've used to get their hooks in?
Well, I'll start by stating a quote from one of our chiefs on the river, Cascade Chief Johnny Jackson, mm-hmm. who said that the spring is not ours to give away. As Native people, we're the caretakers of the land, and the land takes care of us. We were always taught, from our parents and elders to care for and respect that spring, that the most important thing is the sacredness of that particular spring. So these are words that are just thought of in a romantic way by agencies involved, the city, and not to be taken with any kind of seriousness. But the good folks, the citizens of Cascade Locks and Hood River and the Gorge who oppose Nestle know that there's a lot of depth and seriousness to those words there, that if we do take care of our earth, we take care of the water will take care of us. And if we allow the privatization of our water to anyone, but in particular the world's largest food and beverage corporation out of Switzerland, I might add, then we'll no longer be taking care of our water, and we will, as a people, not just as Native people, but all people, will suffer the consequences of that. And, worse than that, our children will suffer the consequences of that, because at every decision, as leaders and as everyday people, Native people and non-Native people out there, everyone, all of the decisions that we make today, our children will either live with or suffer with in their future. And if there's no water, then our children will suffer. I think it's common knowledge, the effects of global warming and the droughts, everyone, you can see it. If you're out on the water, you can feel the water temperature, the water levels. It's in the papers almost every day talking about droughts worldwide, not just here in the States. Everyone seems to be aware of the California situation, and people really need to be asking themselves if this is what we want. And it it's not what the people want. The city council and the port in Cascade Locks are trying to convince people through their propaganda that this is just outsiders coming in and stirring up trouble, that there's more benefits to selling Oxbow Spring than there is to keeping that water as it's supposed to be. And that reminds me of another thing that one of our chiefs said on the river, the same one, Johnny Jackson. He said that spring doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the fish. All of the life in the river belongs to the bear, to the eagle. It doesn't belong to us, to the human being, to give away or to sell. It does go against our spiritual practices. It is taught within, you know, people go to church and they hear the teachings of the Bible and like that. Well, we have our own teachings. They're not written down. They are handed down orally, and they give us instructions on how to live on the earth. And the instructions don't say to sell our water, like selling air. So people have to think about the consequences in the future. It's kind of interesting because in the papers and all the agencies, the governor's office, the city in Cascade Locks, there's no mention of the tribes. There's no mention of our treaty, which guaranteed the four Columbia River tribes, the Warm Springs, Yakima, Umatilla, and the Nez Perce, have what's called senior water rights. In the same way we were guaranteed fishing rights at the in lieu sites, they're the usual and accustomed places. That's also applied to our hunting and food gathering places as well.